This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada at ZenCon 2015, and my special guest is Mr. Jeff Carruth. Say hi to everybody, Jeff.
Hi, everybody.
We've known each other for several years, and we just keep running into each other in conferences. And when I was looking at the schedule, I said, oh, Jeff, you know, I haven't interviewed him in quite some time. I think it was like 2012.
Quite a while, yeah.
Yeah, so let's catch up and see what's going on. You did a very interesting talk here at ZenCon. Apparently, you've been reading my code because your talk was on anti-patterns.
Yes.
Explain what anti-patterns are, and maybe if you can give an example without us having to whiteboard any code.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the gist of it is an anti-pattern is a solution to a common problem that may seem like it's the right thing to do or may seem like it's a good idea, but it often the actual consequences of using that solution outweigh the benefits. Mm. So it's kind of there's a couple of criteria that you use for defining something as an anti-pattern, and one of them is that it has to be something that there is a documented solution that works better effectively. So in this particular talk, I was talking specifically about anti-patterns in object-oriented code bases. So I was talking a lot about, so the primary example is, when you return null, like you're asking for an object from some other object, some other method, and you get back a null, every time you do that, you have to have a null check in your client code. So every time you have to have if null equals equals, and that's the, if you've ever used banking software, this is an example I use all the time, but if you ever use banking software and it's Java-based and you get the null pointer exception, that's because they didn't do this correctly. Mm. So I talked about four of the primary problems that you see in object-oriented code bases and kind of how you can mitigate them better.
That's actually a very interesting one to me, simply because in PHP 7, one of the fixes that they've made is several of the internal classes do that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't throw exception if they can't form themselves properly. They just silently return a null.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know to look for that, then you start running into problems.
Yeah, and so that's one of the things I talk about. I say, you know, there's trade-offs, right? You have to think about, is this the right thing to do at this time? So, I mean, returning null isn't always a bad thing, but there are a lot of situations where if you're asking for a specific object to be created, and you don't want to, you know, if you want to semantically name those methods, they need to be called get user or return null if not exists. Like, that's how you would do it. So it's there's trade-offs, of course.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. Did it go over well?
I think it did. Okay. I had quite a few people who came up and said, oh, you've now solved, another one was utility classes and just having static methods. And they said, I know how to fix that problem now. So yeah, I think it went well.
Very cool. Now the anti-patterns aren't exclusive to object-oriented.
Correct.
The everybody's favorite is globals in PHP. That's a big anti-pattern.
Yes.
But so you can have anti-patterns even in procedural code, and a lot of the old code does have all this stuff in it.
You can even have anti-patterns in process and management, and there's anti-patterns everywhere. So yeah. Well,
yeah, upper management is an anti.
Well, there you go.
But anyhow, well, good. I'm glad that that was interesting. One question, just from a personal aspect, is this talk beginner? Is it intermediate? Do you expect people to know stuff, or can a newbie just jump in and understand this?
It's geared towards someone who's kind of worked in object-oriented code bases before, or worked in, but it is accessible to beginners. I go through and I kind of really spell out the patterns and exactly what their problems are, and then how to solve them, and I try to go through and make a progression. I made a trade-off in the talk of covering more patterns. I didn't want to cover, or I wanted to cover a lot more patterns than I actually got to, but I did the trade-off so that it would be accessible to people who didn't have as much experience. So it's more targeted at beginner to intermediate than it is to super advanced.
Okay, and how many patterns did you cover?
I covered 4 anti-patterns.
Okay, very cool. Hey, you work for Liftopia, and in Liftopia you do both team management
and you still code. And
that's
this
right.
is something I've never been able to master. Usually by the time I got to a team of your size, you have a team of about four.
Four, yeah.
My limit was five, but at five, I said, no, I'm not coding anymore, because at
yes.
that point, management sucks up all your time. And the concept of being able to say, I'm going to take these 2 or these 4 hours and just code doesn't exist.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about the trade-offs you have to make when you move into management and you're still a player coach type.
Yeah, so I mean, that is definitely a challenge every day, and I've been working with my manager on this. Mm-hmm. Kind of, we set goals as, you know, I want to get a certain amount of time per week. So I try to split my time about 40 and 60. So 60% of the time I spend coding, or I try mm-hmm. to spend coding or solving coding-related problems, and then 40% management. It usually works out the other way around, just because I'm trying to help the rest of my team be better. So, you know, my primary role as, you know, team lead and manager is to get my team the opportunities to actually solve the problems. So I spend, for a while, I guess, I actually blocked off time in my calendar and just said, these are, I call them GSD blocks for get stuff done. We'll say stuff done. And it was basically, I'm not talking to anybody during this period. Mm-hmm. And then I schedule, I actually have a daily meeting called office hours, which is the opportunity for anyone who needs to ask me any management questions or anything like that. It's an opportunity for them to come at that point and ask me if it can wait. So
that's a great idea.
I kind of took that from the, I use Pomodoro, mm-hmm. Whatever. So I use Pomodoro.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they teach you is if someone comes in and interrupts you, you ask them, hey, can this wait 25 minutes, the length of the Pomodoro? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of took that as a, hey, can this wait until office hours? And so I used that as a strategy for, you know, most of the time, the things that people are interrupting you about are not emergencies.
That's very cool. I wish I had thought of that. I wish we'd had Pomodoro back when I was doing team management. Because that was always a challenge, mm-hmm. is you would get almost to the point where you can start thinking about the problem, and then there's a knock at your door.
Yep.
And it just, it always drove me up the wall. I actually did, it's interesting to me that you've moved up the ladder, mm-hmm. into management, even if it's still a player coach type role. Back in 1999 or 2000, I wrote a essay on the fact that if we as developers want better managers, then we as developers have to move up into management.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you've never been a developer, I say this to a lot of people, if you've never been a developer, you've got no business managing developers.
Yeah.
You don't understand the pressures or the time constraints. You have no frame of reference. And so it's exciting to me to see people actually moving up, because that gives me hope for the next generation of developers. Because management's not for everybody.
Oh, definitely not.
I don't think every developer should move up into management, and I think that every developer should have a career path that allows them to either go higher up in technical or move over to management. But I'm glad some people do take that road and move over into management. Hey, we're sitting here on my podcast, hanging out in Las Vegas, but you also have a podcast.
I do.
What's the name of that?
The podcast is Loosely Coupled.
And you do it with?
I co-host with Matt Frost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Matt. He's cool.
Yeah, he's a fun guy.
I've got y'all's t-shirts, by the way.
Awesome.
I bought one of the t-shirts.
Awesome.
They're very cool. I've been doing this since 2006, I think, was when I produced mm-hmm. my first podcast, which was for Zend, and it's long gone now. But I got to ask, and I ask this to every podcaster, why? I mean, what is so wrong with you that you've got to do something like this?
That's a really good question. I don't know for a fact. No, but I think it's an alternate forum to just kind of talk about, you know, what this podcast kind of came about, or how it came about. I wanted to do a podcast where I talked solely about, like, architecture things and, like, object-oriented programming and stuff that I really care about. Like, I found myself repeating conversations with a bunch of people, so I thought, why not just record it and tell mm-hmm. people, hey, you want to talk about this? Or go listen to this episode. And then I was a little discouraged because another podcast came out around the same time, and it was similarly focused. And so I just kind of said, well, whatever, I'll let them do it. And then I got to talking to Matt, and at a conference at Midwest 2013, I think,
mm-hmm.
we were down in the lobby, and we just kind of sat there and talked for about 2 hours. Other people were kind of hanging around and listening to us, and we were just kind of rattling back and forth, just like an episode. And we said, this could be a podcast talking about developer lives, like just problems that we have and how we deal with them and how we, you know, career managed, and all these topics are things that I think people need to hear. And so that's where it came from. And it's been an awesome way to grow as a developer myself, or as a developer and manager. Like, just talking about the problems has helped me. So that's why I do it. Is it's a way for me to help myself grow, and then help unknown people just kind of grow in their own careers.
That's cool. I've listened to several episodes. Sadly, I don't get to listen to a lot of technical podcasts. Mm-hmm. Most of the podcasts I actually consume are marketing related. Mm-hmm. But I have listened to several podcasts. It's nicely produced. You and Matt do a wonderful job. Matt's up in New York somewhere, isn't he?
I think he's in Ohio.
Ohio.
No.
Boy, I missed that
Maybe
one totally.
Ohio.
But anyhow, he's a wonderful guy. I've met Matt several times. He's been I don't know if he's been a guest on Voices, but he's been a speaker for us on Nomad PHP.
Yeah.
And really respect him and love the thing that y'all are doing. I appreciate you putting yourself out there because, you know, this is a lot of work, and, you know, it's I'm lucky in that the lovely and talented Kathy does everything except the voice.
Uh-huh.
You know, she scheduled with you. I made a list. I said, these are the people I want to talk to. She contacted you. She scheduled it. She'll do the post-production. I don't have to do all of that. But in previous podcasts, I've done all of that.
Yep.
I know.
It's a lot of work.
This stuff's a lot of work. And so I always ask podcasters, you know, why don't you get into this? Why would you do this? But that's a very good answer. And I love people that are willing to put themselves out there and share. Even, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, is there anybody listening to this
yeah.
thing, you know?
Yep.
With a podcast, you don't know. You're doing a talk in a session. At least you can see there's people in the audience,
yes.
you know?
Yes,
so,
that's true.
Hey, one last topic. We talked about the fact that you're into management.
Mm-hmm.
You also are into dog training, yeah. and I imagine those go hand in hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. I adopted a German Shepherd a little over a year ago, mm-hmm. and she was kind of a rescue. She was just running around, and someone found her, and we adopted her. And so then I started thinking, like, hey, this is a good opportunity for me to, you know, have something to do. And, like, you know, so I teach her things. So we're working on some of the basics. She didn't have a lot of fundamentals, but it's been interesting, just kind of a way for me to exercise my patience, because that's always been a problem for me. It's like, I'm a very impatient person, and mm-hmm. Having a kid helped with that a little bit. And then now having a dog in training. So, like, just learning and working with a dog. Like, we've got a really good relationship now. Like, she hangs out with me all day. I work at home, so she's in my office, and we have a lot of fun. So it's just a hobby, and it's rewarding to me, especially. Like, we'll go to the dog park and we'll see other dogs there, and mm-hmm. like, I can get her to come to me. Like, I could just tell her come and she'll come, and other people are just looking at me like I'm a crazy person. Like, how did you do that? And it's fun. But yeah, it does have a lot of parallels. I use it a lot when I'm talking about, you know, teaching my son how to do things. It's very similar to training dogs,
yeah.
Just because they have similar brain functions.
Well, that is great. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us on Voices of the Elephant. Before I let you go, same two questions to ask everybody. What's your local user group? What's the URL?
The local user group, I'm going to go with Dallas PHP.
Oh, good.
And it's DallasPHP.org, I believe.
Okay. Thank you so much. Well, like I said, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule here at ZenCon. There's so many great sessions. I mean, Joshua Warren's on the main stage right now talking about Magento, and
yeah.
he's rocking it. I just watched Matt Stauffer.
I was in that talk.
Man.
That is an amazing talk.
That guy's just a great speaker.
He is.
I look forward to seeing him at conferences for many years to come.
Oh, yeah.
But there's so many great sessions. I just appreciate you taking the time out of that. And thank you. I mean, you put yourself out there on a podcast on a regular basis, and share with people what you know. You speak at conferences. Thank you for sharing, because it takes a lot to step up and say, I'm going to put it out there. You know?
It does. Well, thank you, Cal.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.